Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chance.
Bouchard, Nugent Hopkins, left circle, shot deflected, and it winds up on the right half boards. Nugent Hopkins located it first. Back to Bouchard, and now McDavid left circle. Bouchard, Nugent Hopkins, Bouchard, one-timer, score! Evan Bouchard, 17th of the year, gives Edmonton a 3-2 lead. Assist to Nugent Hopkins and McDavid.
Well, that's a C&I blast from Evan Bouchard.
Yeah, big shot by Bouchard. Actually ticked off a Flames penalty killer on the way in. It's the game winner tonight as the Oilers beat the Calgary Flames 4-2. Connor McDavid, a couple of assists. He's up to 99 helpers on the season. The Oilers are now 47-24-5 on the year. They win the season series 3-1 against the Flames. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown with you for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. It's 12 minutes after 11. Hope you're having a good Saturday night. And a lot to talk about out of this game, Rob. Entertaining game. Certainly wide open. A lot of action. A lot of power plays, a lot of power play goals. But let's again give credit to the Oilers. Well, at the start of the year, the number three goaltender, but now clearly a very, very good backup goaltender. Calvin Pickard is 12-6 on the season, and he makes 34 saves tonight.
Well, it's funny. There was a lot of talk a few summers ago about the Oilers trying to acquire Markstrom. And tonight, the Edmonton Oilers' third-string goaltender, who I don't think anyone imagined would be playing an important part of this team, outplayed Markstrom in the other end. Pickard was awesome. A big reason why the Oilers got 2 points against a team that much further down than them in the standings, but came and played a very strong game. And when they push, especially in the second period, Calvin Pickard was excellent. So there's so many really cool stories about this season. It's almost like fate is telling you that this is the year you guys all want to be watching. It's going to be a big film afterwards when they hoist the Stanley Cup, because there's so many cool storylines. Calvin Pickard is one of those storylines.
Yeah, very solid game for him. And on the balance, I wouldn't say this was a great game by the Oilers, you know, backstopped by Pickard and some timely goals. They did enough to figure it out, but, you know, Calgary outshot the Oilers 36-27, including 19-8 in the second period, and Edmonton got out of that period with the lead. The Calgary would tie it in the third before Bouchard scored, but certainly not the Oilers' best game. Calgary, you know, played well, applied a lot of pressure, so I think the Oilers get out there with the win and have a few days to rest now before playing Vegas.
Yeah, it's the Oilers just play back-to-back, and back-to-back isn't as hard as it used to be in the National Hockey League, and it certainly wasn't a hard one because they played in Edmonton last night, but it was 3-4, and those are the ones that are a lot more tiring. The Oilers looked fatigued. We talked last night that the Colorado Avalanche, as the game went on, especially when they fell behind by the second goal, they looked tired. It was an Oilers team that was a lot fresher, taking advantage of a tired hockey club. Well, tonight it was the opposite. The Oilers were the tired group. The Calgary Flames seemed to have a little bit more jump. We saw a couple shifts where the extended time in the Oilers zone, that you get off the ice, but that 2 minute or 2.5 or 3 minute shift, that doesn't just go away. Your legs are pretty tired for a period after that, especially when you're starting with the fatigue level this team has right now. This is a hard-earned win that has got them a extra 2 points in the bank and 3 days off of rest before they have to go into their very tough stretch to finish the season. But this was a game that the Oilers played just well enough to win. But when you're a good hockey club, You find ways to win. When your team on the outside looking in like Calgary is, you seem to find ways to lose. And the Calgary Flames, couple silly penalties late in the game, found a way to lose the game. The Edmonton Oilers' power play did nothing early, scored a power play goal, found a way to win.
All right, so 4-2, the Oilers take it. It's getting replayed everywhere on social media, Hockey Night in Canada during the intermissions. So Corey Perry appeared to be yelling at Evander Kane late in the second period.
I'm not sure appeared is the
well,
word.
Well, he was yelling, yeah. And Kane was there. So, it looked like Kane was the target of some anger. We're not sure what play exactly it was. There's a couple, Rob, where you and I said to each other watching the game, not a great move by Kane, and we'll discuss those here. But look, this is coming up again and again with some of Kane's comments or demeanor when answering questions in the media, body language on the ice. Some nights, not very good performance on the ice. Not all nights, but some nights. He did break that big scoring drought the other day. We know this is a player who came here with a lot of baggage and who has worn out his welcome. I mean, San Jose basically fired him. You know, it doesn't happen often.
Well, they paid him
in
to go
NHL,
away.
You know, yeah. So... So what do you make of that? Is it getting concerning, especially with the playoffs around the corner? What do you think?
I think it's always concerning. We actually got to hear. Normally we don't get to hear anything that's on TV between periods because we're on air. Today we actually turned it on. We had a commercial. And we listened. It happened to be at the right moment. Kevin Bieksa was on, and Kevin Bieksa went on to talk about Kay. I know Corey Perry. Corey Perry, this is not how he acts. If he's yelling like this, there is a very, very good reason, because this is not the type. You never see him in this kind of state. Is it concerning? Yes. Is it easy to say, well, obviously he did something wrong? Well, the past allows you to make that assumption, but it's only an assumption. There were a couple plays that we said, first, the Oilers score a goal, and Kane takes a silly penalty. And we're like, okay, you know what? Against the Calgary Flames, game doesn't really mean as much. It's one thing. But these are the things you need out of your game. But you don't do that. And then there was the play in the offensive zone that we think may have been what it was, where he throws it blindly out in front of the opposition's net, which turned into a break going the other way. Again, it doesn't look like a big thing, but the one thing that Corey Perry knows how to do, Corey Perry knows how to win. Teams go and get him at the deadline or sign him because, A, they want him to teach the young players how to be a proper professional and how to be a professional that knows how to win hockey games. So Corey Perry would not like things along those lines that don't help you win hockey games. Things that he would look upon as being not team first type of moments in games. The fact that it became as colorful and as big as it wasn't a conversation where, hey, Reed, you know what? Don't throw your headset when I'm on the air because it gets very loud. It wasn't a conversation where we're talking side by side. It was one where he was sharing what he was saying to everyone on the bench. So you got to think that there's something more than, hey, you know what? That was probably not the best play right there. It would have to be more than that for him to explode like he did on the bench. And it wasn't. Players fight, and players argue, but this was a lengthy one where Corey left and came back.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we've seen with Corey Perry, and from talking to people, Corey Perry is a very quiet off the ice. He's a very quiet person. We don't see him talk a lot. For him to be like that, he was quite angry. And to me, if having to explode to say, here's the proper way to do something, if you have to do that and it changes and makes it things better, I'm all for it. But as far as what it was about, we're just guessing.
Well, but I think we can still talk about that play where Kane threw the puck in front of the net, because we've seen him do this fairly regularly lately where it's a bit of a hope pass.
Yep.
Or I'm going to get the puck off my stick and throw it somewhere, often into the middle of the ice, which could be dangerous. And look, we know turnovers happen, but I'm just thinking that play in particular, Kane's got behind the puck behind the net. There was no Oiler in front of the net.
No.
There was nobody coming off the bench. There was nobody there to get the puck. I mean, sure, sometimes the crafty players, the McDaves of the world, they might actually be trying to score on a bank shot. That I don't think that was the case. So I'm wondering, you know, when you're in the playoffs, you can't throw the puck away.
No.
You have to protect it. And guys like Perry and Kane, some of the bigger Oilers specifically, part of the reason they get a paycheck is because, okay, while we're setting up a forecheck or making a line change or getting guys in position, it's our job to hold on to the puck and get hit maybe several times below the icing line, but keep the puck alive, not put it into an area where the other team can turn it up the other way.
Well, if you've got the puck below the goal line of the Calgary Flames, guess what the Calgary Flames aren't doing? They're not scoring. So you've done your job, and you've kept in the offensive zone, and take time off the clock. Stay in the offensive zone. Keep momentum going your way. Coaches do not like blind passes in front of the net because what it usually turns into a jailbreak where now the Calgary Flames are the opposition team. Not only are they breaking the puck out, they're breaking it out with numbers because as a line mate, there's things that you expect from your line mates to do. So if the puck is in the corner, someone will be behind the net and I'm expecting him to throw it there. So there'll be someone yelling behind the net, around, something along like that. So those players are going into that position. And if you break away from what your line's supposed to be doing, now you've caught them. And now all of a sudden, so again, it doesn't matter against the Calgary Flames. It will against Vegas. It will against LA, Vancouver, Colorado. Imagine if you do that against the Colorado Avalanche, you throw it out in front of the Avs net and Cale Makar picks the puck up and he, MacKinnon and Rantanen and Drouin take off, you're not catching them. And now all of a sudden it's an odd man break. You took a play where you have full control of the puck 100 or 90 feet from your net and you've given them an odd man break. So again, I don't know if that's what they're yelling at, but that wasn't a good play.
Nonetheless, the Oilers do get the 4-2 win over the Calgary Flames. Let's go to the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EIA.com/nonstop. Here's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch.
Every game did you like tonight that allowed you guys to come out with the 4-2 win?
Our third period. I thought we played well in the third period, and the power play came up with a huge goal at the end. I did like that. And the other one would be Calvin Pickard. He was outstanding. I thought he made a huge save, especially late in the game with the goalie pulled. Game on the line, he came up big. And, you know, if so often you win some games with the goaltending, and I think tonight was one of those.
What was the difference between tonight and the last time these two teams played?
I think just the opportunity to score. I think we were just opportunistic. Now, saying that, we had some really good opportunities. We didn't get a shot on goal, a couple breakaways, 2-1-0. You know, sometimes they go your way, sometimes they don't. You know, tonight I think the difference was, I'll say Pickard, how well he played.
I know the bottom six has been doing their job on both ends of the ice, but their offensive production has now been a little bit more consistent. How encouraging of a sign is that as a head coach of a team that hopes to go far in the playoffs to have that starting early April?
Yeah, it's nice that we're getting some depth scoring. And, you know, last night it was Kane, Perry, McLeod line who came up big with three goals. Tonight, Brown, the huge goal. And, you know, those lines have been playing pretty good, especially that fourth line who probably haven't scored as much as obviously the other lines, but that obviously ice time and opportunities affect that. But overall, the amount of time they've been spending in the offensive zone generating chances and not giving up much, they've been very solid.
You've been juggling these lines here for about a month. Do you finally feel like you got a couple lines down there that are getting some traction?
Well, that fourth line's been really good, and you know, that being said, you know, Sam Carrick can go in that fourth line and mix up that line too. So tonight it got messed up because, you know, something had to be done. We weren't very good in the second period, and we had to make a little adjustment, kind of spread out our talent, split up Connor and Leon there. But overall, there's lines that I like, and when we go from game to game, there'll be some fluctuation.
Coach, there was a heat exchange there between Perry and Kane on the bench, really animated. I guess, did you see that? And then what you have to say when teammates are kind of going at it on the bench there?
Emotional. I know before the period started, they had talked and made it out. They're just a disagreement and two passionate players, and nothing more than that.
In a weird way, do you kind of want that from your team, like that type of fire internal conflict, if it's handled the right
way? If it's handled right, if it's handled well, and but obviously, if the most important is, do they stay composed? Or focus, I should say. The more important word would be focus, and being able to return from that exchange ready for their next shift. And if they have that exchange and it affects others on the bench, if it affects their next shift, then absolutely, we don't want to see that. These players are very competitive and they have emotions, and sometimes that comes out. But overall, I don't assume it's going to happen again.
Okay, so that's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch. A brief comment about Rob and I were talking about with the, it wasn't really much of an exchange. It was mostly Perry doing most of the talking, and certainly seemed to be at the louder volume. But the Oilers do beat the Calgary Flames 4-2. So thanks to James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. A $400 donation to 630 Chet Santa's Anonymous. James H. Brown giving $100 every time the Oilers score. All right, you can get in touch on the CertainTeed hotline. That's the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling system. CertainTeed Pro all the way at 780-496-0063. You'll also hear from Calvin Pickard, the winning goaltender, and from Derek Ryan, who had another good game, actually drew the penalty that led to the winning goal tonight.
Yeah, and had an assist as well, I believe, on the 2-on-1 with Brown's
goal. He did
score,
on Brown's goal. Yeah, he got an assist on
and,
that.
Well, play. We had a caller that has called that said that the Oilers' record with Derek Ryan in the lineup is quite good, and he got a couple more wins under his belt the last couple games.
All right, 4-2, the Oilers take it. You're listening to Heartland Ford, Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
Shillington to Yegor Shorangovich. His drive in front. Two saves by Pickard on Michael Backlund. Forehand and backhand. Miramanov shot and another stick save made by Calvin Pickard.
Very good performance by Pickard. Those are his saves of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310-GLASS or visit crystalglass.ca. 34 stops tonight as the Oilers beat the Calgary Flames 4-2. Here he is.
Calvin, how would you assess your team's ability to deal with the waves that were coming at you, especially in that second period against the Flames?
Yeah, I thought we got off to a pretty good start. First period was kind of even. Obviously, playing last night's a little bit tougher on us. We saw that with Colorado last night. And you know, you got to give them credit. They were good. They played a lot. They played a lot of pucks towards the net and kind of just retrieved them. And we kind of got spinning around there in the D zone a bit. But we bent, but we didn't break. And we had the lead going in the third. And we played great in the third and shut her down.
For you personally, how much are you enjoying getting all these reps in game action? Because we know how heavy the schedule is to close out the season. But that means they got to lean on you more and you continue to perform. How much are you enjoying this process?
Yeah, it's been great. I've been saying it all year. Anytime I'm called upon, I just want to go out and do my thing. And we didn't have a great game in Dallas, and today was another opportunity to get back at it just a couple days later. And obviously I want to have a good game, and I don't want to lose two in a row. So some really good efforts up and down the lineup today. It was nice to get the win.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Derek Ryan. When it comes to the character in this dressing room, what do you kind of highlight in your guys' ability to kind of bounce back after a very disappointing effort in Dallas?
Obviously, we have a boatload of character in this room, and last night's game was a big game for us. We wanted to have a big response after the Dallas game, and we did that. And obviously, it's not the easiest schedule. It's back-to-back. Calgary's sitting waiting for us, but I thought we had some good looks. Their goalie played well, made some big saves. It could have, we could add a couple more goals. So, it was a fun game to be a part of. It's just nice to get the win for sure.
What's on the to-do list or the checklist for your group from now until the start of the playoffs?
Yeah, we just want to make sure sure you know, we're playing the right way heading into the playoffs. You know, obviously we sagged a bit in the second period today, but that's going to happen. And you know, credit where credit's due. They played well. And you know, looking after that Dallas game, you know, coming into a back-to-back, that's not easy. And winning both is good for our group. I think we have 6 games left, and we just want to get our game in order. It's about us in here and then not worrying about our opponents till playoffs.
I think that was your first South Alberta in the spot. Like, how was it, the atmosphere, the dome, and everything like that?
That's great. You know, I thought it was rocking in the first period there. Obviously, our fans travel over here, and there's a lot of Oilers fans here, and that was nice to see. We got you know, best fans in the league, and such good support all over. So that was fun, and definitely nice to bury them there at the end.
Recent weeks have shown that the contributions from throughout the lineup has been very consistent. As a team that's hoping to contend for the Holy Grail come late June, seeing that now in early April, how encouraging of a sign is that?
For sure. You said it. Up and down the lineup, first line, fourth line, all the D, you know, both goalies. You're gonna need everybody. So it's very encouraging. It's exciting moving forward. And obviously, it was a big night for us to clinch last night. But I got some unfinished business here for the next few games. We're obviously playing for seeding and want that home ice. So it's an exciting time of the year. And we're just going to try and keep playing well.
It's Calvin Pickard as the Oilers beat Calgary 4-2. And we'll see. They trailed Vancouver. I saw Sportsnet Stats tweeted out. Trailed Vancouver by 17 points on February 15th. They're 3 back with a game in hand. And they do play each other, so maybe still first in the division. But the Oilers certainly looking good to finish at least second. Not sure who they're going to play. Now it could be L.A. moved ahead of Vegas tonight. But we'll give the full out-of-town scoreboard here in a few minutes. But, Pickard... 12-6. Your backup goalie has won 2/3 of his games. For a while, his save percentage was up around 920. It dropped after Ottawa and Dallas, but he's be back up around 912, 913 after this game tonight. And as he said, that's all he can do. I mean, it's kind of a cliche, but making the most of his opportunities. Be ready to go when he's called on.
Well, and the way he's played all season long has allowed the Oilers to use him more. And he has given them quality start after quality start. We saw last year in the playoffs that Skinner looked a little fatigued, and at one point it looked like Skinner was on pace for 65 games the way that the season started, and they wanted to get back into the positives, and they just kept playing their top number one goaltender. But every time they put Pickard in, Pickard played well, and they're like, okay, maybe we don't have to wait 7 games now. Maybe we wait 5. Oh, okay, well, he played well again. Maybe we don't have to wait 5. We can wait 3, and they just kept moving to the point where they could share the net the rest of the way. The Oilers would love to get the Pacific Division simply because you have home ice for the first 2 rounds, and that'd be nice because we see how the Oilers are playing on home ice. At one point, you would have thought, well, if they're going to do that, they got 6 games left, probably going to have to play Skinner in 5 of those 6 at least.
Right.
But now you're like, they can go 3-3 if they want, get Skinner the rest he needs, and you still feel confident that you've got 2 goaltenders that can get you wins. So Skinner was excellent in this game, and I know that Chris Knobloch mentioned it a couple times, things that he liked in this game. Pickard, and I think the reason was,
he threw it out a totally clean game for him.
Yeah, so Pickard was the reason that the Oilers got 2 points. He was the better of the 2 goaltenders. The second period, there's no way the Oilers should come out of that with the lead, but that was all on the back of Calvin Pickard.
Pickard was picked as the 3rd star. Nugent Hopkins, he had 3 points. The 2nd star, 2 goals for Sharon Govich of the Flames. He was the 1st star. We'll give Derek Ryan, who you're going to hear from in a few minutes, the 4th star for Jandell Holmes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. All right, we have Chris on the Certainty Hotline. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Reid. Hey, Rob. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Well, you know what? It was definitely an ugly game, as Jack and Bob said it earlier, but you know what? Kudos to the team. They found a way to win, and you know what? Big props to Calvin Pickard. You know what? After wasn't his fault that I think they got the loss against Dallas. The team kind of hung him out there, but he had a very nice response back tonight, and it was a really good one to see from him. And I see him playing probably the next 3 of the last 6, And I'll leave last comment here. And I know usually don't make comments about the other team, but tell you what, for the talent Rasmus Anderson has, he's probably the biggest phony I think I see in the NHL. This
who is this, Anderson?
Yeah, Rasmus Anderson for Calgary. And I don't think it's close as the biggest phony.
I got a lot of buddies that don't like Rasmus either.
Me being one of them.
He is effective at getting under the skin of certain players, and he certainly got under Leon's today. But
and again, a penalty Leon can't take.
No, he can't.
I mean,
it was
again,
obvious.
You hope. I mean, I'm sure he would say, "Well, in the playoffs, I won't do that." But he has done it in the playoffs.
Yes. Too many times. And it's the same play. It's the slash.
The slash to the back of the legs. Yeah, yeah.
And I can tell you, it hurts. It seriously hurts. And if you get it right on that bone on the side of your knee, the funny, I guess it's the knee funny bone, it really hurts. It actually deadens your leg. So Leon can't do that. Kane shouldn't have done what he did. Get it out of the way now because you cannot afford to. If they play the Kings in the first round, the last two series they've had against them were 7 games and 6 games.
Yeah.
You can't afford to throw away a game by taking a silly penalty.
Yeah, and the goaltending situation, so I would assume next week, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, it'll go Skinner, Pickard, Skinner. So Skinner would play Vegas and Vancouver. The 17th and 18th are the last two games. They'll be split. So I guess the wild card would be that San Jose game on Monday the 15th, whether that's Stewart or
Pickard. All, I would probably go back and forth the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Skinner, Pickard, Skinner, Pickard, Skinner, Pickard. They both play three. That gives Skinner an extra day because he would be the second last game of the season.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Have him in Arizona, yeah.
And they have him in Arizona. Then you got Colorado. The problem is the Oilers, that game against Colorado could mean a lot.
We don't know what it's going to mean yet, yeah.
So I guess they look at what the but it would still nice. It'd be nice to go 3-3 the final six games, and the way the Pickard plays allows you to make that decision.
4-2, the Oilers win in Calgary. Whenever the Oilers score five or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. Japanese Village, save $10 on all certified Angus beef New York steak dinners. For details, visit jvedmonton.ca. All right, Jamie calling us tonight. Jamie, thanks for staying up. Go ahead.
Hi guys, how are you?
Good.
Just a couple things. Just my take, first of all, on the Kane Perry incident. No one has pointed it out, but I can read lips pretty well, and I think my take on what happened there. Perry was upset because Kane elbowed Anderson or butt ended him right before that play, and the play was up ice already, and he was screaming at him because he had taken that dumb penalty that cost him, and all he was saying to him was, why are you doing that, blah, blah, blah? Because the play's up the ice. You can't be doing that sort of stuff. You already cost us a goal. That was what happened. It wasn't about the play dumping the puck in front. So you hear that. I mean, I don't know if you hear the truth, but watch that play again and see right before that, Kane got away with a penalty, a stupid penalty again. And that's what happened there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you can read lips, we'll take you at face value for that. But yeah. Clearly, yeah, no, criticizing...
There's going to be a lot of talk about it, I'm sure. And if you get a chance, watch the video. Kane elbows were butted.
Oh, yeah, that should have been a penalty. You're right, yeah, it should have been a penalty.
That's what he was mad about.
But he also...
Anyway,
Corey Perry also would be mad at Kane throwing the puck out in front of the net because the play was back in the corner. So, and Perry understands... what it takes to win hockey games, and keeping the puck in the offensive zone with smart plays is something that he would be mad at too, that if Kane threw it out blindly as well. So it could have been either, but I trust your eyesight better than mine.
All right. Yeah, anyway, hopefully that stuff like this doesn't keep happening. I set the line at 2.5 for combined points by Perry, McLeod, and Kane for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement, bet on it. No points for those guys today, so V will get the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. We have Big Bad Joe on the line as well. Big Bad Joe, go ahead.
Hey, you guys, I called in last night too, but I have something going on with my radio, so I lost you guys. But I have two things. One thing to say, you know, remember when McDavid and Hyman had a 2-on-1?
2-on-0, yeah, the 2-on-0, yes.
2-on-0. If McDavid would have shot that puck, it would have gone in. So I hope McDavid kept his 100-point really quick so he don't have to pass the puck anymore. And my second thing is fun, and I think they're fun. with the signing of Corey Perry, what he showed tonight is showing true leadership. He says something and something needs to be said, and I know Kane was not happy, and you know, I have a feeling Kane is not happy because he's not on the second line or on the first line, but you know, show the coach that you deserve to be on those lines. Don't do those silly plays, because I think that's the only reason why he is on the third line, because if you could imagine, you have him on a bit of top players and he make those silly plays, you know, you can. That was, and I think what I try to say is when I like Kane, well, you know what, Corey Perry is a true leader, and I think that's going to be the best signing this year.
That's a really good point. I do appreciate the leadership that Corey Perry brings to this organization, through whether it's through vocal or just by the way he plays. Corey Perry adds to this team 100%.
Yeah, and if something needs to be said, I mean, because one of the knocks on the Oilers leadership group, so to speak, is that they're a quiet group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go out there and do their thing. Now, we don't know what happens in the dressing room or what's said or how they say it. They're probably not screamers necessarily. I mean, we've seen Leon and Connor sometimes say something to a teammate, or it looks like they're talking about something on the bench. But I don't think there was any doubt about Perry's message in that moment. He didn't deal with it that they're off tomorrow, practice Monday. Oh, hey, bud, remember that Saturday? You know, that was dealt with pretty immediately.
Yeah, no, it was. And I don't know Corey Perry at all, other than to watch him. So I take from people that have played with him and just listen to Kevin Bieksa talking about the fact that Corey Perry usually, very rarely do you see him that animated, means that something that happened made him quite upset. So it's over. It's done with. Hopefully there's no long-lasting effects. I doubt there will be. But, Corey, I trust that when Corey Perry does say something, it is for the benefit of his team.
All right, Oilers win 4-2 as we check the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. Dylan Holloway, a hat trick for Bakersfield as they beat Calgary 5-2 in the American Hockey League. It is the Kings over the Canucks 6-3, so the Kings jump into third in the Pacific Division.
They are now, as if the playoffs started today, the Kings and the Oilers were playing the first round. We've seen that story before.
Predators outshot the Islanders 41-30. Was that the game you said the shot attempts were close to 100 for
they
Nashville?
They said 90-some shot attempts by Nashville. There was 30-some blocks by the Islanders, and they were shut out. So the Nashville 2-0
Predators, Islanders.
Yeah, they're still playing well. They just, unfortunately for Nashville Predator fans, weren't able to find the back of the net tonight.
Okay. Also, Devils over the Senators 4-3. Maple Leafs beat the Canadiens 4-2 as Matthews got up to 64. The Flyers, tough time. They lose 6-2 to the Blue Jackets. Sharks beat the Blues 3-2 in overtime. Jets knock off the Wild 4-2. The Penguins, Crosby gets his 40th. They beat the Lightning 5-4. Chicago over Dallas 3-2. And Boston beating the Panthers 3-2 in overtime. So just quickly looking at the standings, the Islanders jump into third in the Metro with 85 points. Pittsburgh is now the second wildcard team, tied with Philly, but Pittsburgh has a game in hand. Washington and Detroit are both a point back. I know Philly's played the most games out of all those teams. So, like if Pittsburgh made it, and if both Washington and Detroit didn't, because it was them for a while.
Yeah, it's. I looked at the schedule, and I might get the teams wrong, but the Philadelphia Flyers have lost 7 straight and 10 of 12. The Capitals, I believe, have lost 5 straight. The Detroit Red Wings have lost 6 or 7, 6 out of 7. The Pittsburgh Penguins have won 4 straight, I believe it is. They've made up 8 points in the standings in the last 7 days.
Yeah.
Like, I know that we're talking about, well, the Oilers are only 3 down. Can they do it? Is it too much to overcome? The Penguins made up 8 points in 4 games. It is unbelievable, the fall of Detroit, Washington, and, well, especially Philadelphia with 2 wins and 12. They were comfortably comfortably in the playoffs. If they went 500 in that stretch, they would be comfortable in a playoff spot. I'm a little biased. I'm hoping that it is the Pittsburgh Penguins that make the playoffs. And Sidney Crosby, who is having an unbelievable season, I hope it gets to continue with extra games in April.
All right. Oilers beat the Flames 4-2. You'll hear from Derek Ryan as we move along on Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Calgary's just trying to get out of here in a scoreless tie right now. McDavid loading up. Trying to go back to Drysdale. That was broken up. Bouchard with 20 seconds. McDavid poke checked away by Kevin Rooney. Nugent Hopkins. High slot. Drysdale one-timer score. And there's 40. Leon Drysdale. Wow. Powers it through a tiny sliver behind Jacob Markstrom, and that's the fourth time he's hit 40 goals in his career, making 20 on the power play, and Edmonton takes a 1-0 lead.
Well, that was an absolute BB by Leon Draisaitl right from his kill zone, and that's his 20th power play goal of the season as well.
Powered it past Markstrom. Both teams 2-for-6 on the power play, presented by Conlon Motorsports. They'll help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' 4 locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. Flames do the Oilers beat the Flames 4-2. So Draisaitl and Bouchard had power play goals for the Oilers. Sharon Govich and Kadri off a Sharon Govich shot have the power play markers for the Flames. So Draisaitl gets to 40. McDavid 2 assists, by the way. He's up to 99. But that, again, that Draisaitl power play. And Rob, sometimes people say, well, why do they keep trying it? Well, the thing is, it only needs to work once a game.
Yes.
And you got a power play goal from Draisaitl.
And it's pretty good. And it also opens up other things. If all of a sudden you start taking away that pass and that shot, well, all of a sudden Bouchard's wide open.
Yeah.
Because you've moved down to take away the passing lane. The Calgary Flames played an almost perfect game against a team that's better than them, but the problem for the Calgary Flames, they took penalties. And they gave the Oilers a couple opportunities in the third period in a tie game. You can't do that. The Oilers' power play is just too powerful, and it is too timely. And tonight they got a big one in the important moments of a hockey game. So for the Oilers to have success in the playoffs, they need good goaltending, and they're getting that right now from both goalies, but they need fantastic specialty teams.
Yeah.
And I've been asked a couple times lately, are you worried or is there any fear about the Oilers' power play? Because they've struggled a little bit on the road. I'm like, no. When it counts, when it matters, I have full confidence that the Edmonton Oilers' power play will get the big goals at the big moments.
And just quickly here on Connor Brown, 4 goals. He has 4 goals in the last 11 games that he's played.
I don't think he's ever going to live up to what they expected from him, but he is certainly earning his keep right now. If you can get a goal, 4 goals every 11 games from a guy that's on your fourth line that also penalty kills, I mean, that's stolen money right there. So, and it was a goal, a fourth line goal. It's two guys going to the net, creating chaos, and then someone coming and cleaning it up. And Connor Brown's got the speed to get in there and win races to pucks. I like when the coaching staff and Chris Knobloch, they call out depth players for having good games. Talked about it last night, the McLeod, Perry, and Kane line. And tonight, 2 or 3 times he mentioned Pickard, and a couple times he mentioned his fourth line and how well they played. And they deserve those accolades because the fourth line was very good in this game.
Okay, and Connor Brown got promoted in the third period.
And deservedly so. He's playing second line minutes with Leon Draisaitl. They keep looking for that right winger for Leon. And tonight, Connor Brown had his chance.
Okay, you'll hear from Derek Ryan when we get back. Oilers win at 4-2 in Calgary, so they take 3 out of 4 against the Flames this season. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
And a 2-on-1. Derek Ryan, left circle to the net. Sliding Gilbert, still loose. Poked in front. And Connor Brown finishes.
There's Brown's 4th of the year, helping the Oilers beat the Flames 4-2, and one of the guys who got an assist on that play is Derek Ryan.
Derek, can you maybe just talk about your team's ability to kind of deal with the pushback you were getting from Calgary and still come out on top of it?
Yeah, I don't think we're happy with our second. They took it to us a little bit. That's what happens in big games. A lot of momentum swings, ebbs and flows, and we were able to come out and have a really good third. I was happy about that and regroup and found 2 points.
When it comes to the character in this dressing room, what's been highlighted in your team's ability to bounce back after a very disappointing effort in Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, that's a microcosm of our whole season, no? With the start that we had and the character in this room, we were able to bounce back from that. There's a lot of people in Edmonton, a lot of people standing around me right now. They were writing us off and look at us now, so.
Obviously, use that as a little motivation, what we say, Derek, or?
No. Leave it at that.
When you get to the playoffs in the big games, it can't be just the top line scoring and the top guys. It's got to be everybody. Last two games, you're getting goals from everybody. Is this a team building towards the recipe that it's going to take to win when it counts?
Yeah, you know what? What comes to mind when you say that is everyone wants to talk about goal scoring. And I think that the third and fourth line have to do a good job of a lot of other things that don't go on the score sheet. I know that you guys look at the score sheet and you want to see that, but I mean, if the fourth line goes out and draws a penalty and we score on that power play, it doesn't go on the score sheet. That happened in the third, and you guys don't talk about that, but that's a big shift. Whether it's building momentum in the O-zone, those shifts are just huge in the playoffs. The momentum shifts are massive, and so, yeah, we need to score goals, but it's a lot more complicated than that.
All right, that is Derek Ryan after the Oilers beat the Flames 4-2. Get more on this game on 630ched.com, globalnews.ca. Our next game broadcast presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers is Wednesday. Home to Vegas. The Oilers home to Vegas. It's going to be a 5 o'clock face-off show and the game at 6:30. Thanks to our studio producer, Angie Quinnell. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.